around Loch Awe. You know, the views from the train are fantastic along this stretch of the line. As you approach Loch Awe station, look out for the fabulous ruins of Culchurn Castle. It's just one of four medieval castles which were built along the 25-mile-long loch. Soon you'll be passing through an increasingly narrow glen with Ben Cruachan towering above. Then the railway line plunges down towards the stunning scenery of Loch Etive. Ben Cruachan is a mountain with a secret. It's actually hollow. It's hard to believe, but hidden within this great hillside is a massive hydroelectric power station which opened in 1965 to produce renewable energy. The power station's housed in a man-made cavern that is 120 feet high. That's high enough to take the Tower of London. And there's far more than just the turbine hall inside this mountain. 20 miles of pipes and tunnels bring water to the site, and a road has been drilled into the hill to allow the use of vehicles when servicing the plant. Scotland's numerous hydroelectric stations come in various forms and sizes. Cruachan is also unusual in that it doesn't depend on naturally flowing water. Instead, water from a man-made reservoir high in the hills is drawn down into the power station where it drives the turbines, creating electricity. The water then flows down into Loch Awe, from where it's pumped back up to the reservoir to begin the whole process again. It was the first power station in the world to make energy in this way. Cruachan is a vital part of our national grid system. It takes a few hours for most hydroelectric stations to react to a sudden surge in demand, but Cruachan, with its pumped storage system, allows it to generate electricity literally at the flick of a switch. Cruachan normally only operates for a couple of hours at peak times each day, but its real importance lies in its ability to meet unusual demands within just a couple of minutes. The hills, glens and streams around Ben Cruachan and Loch Awe are steeped in Gaelic tradition and folklore. Roddy McLean is a Gaelic journalist and broadcaster.
I've met people, elderly people who grew up as Gaelic speakers, who could name rocks, fields, little tiny bits of ground, and those things were never recorded. Mostly they were just in their heads. They saw this landscape. There was a sort of a living landscape, often populated by stories and legends as well as by actual places that they see today.
Some of these legends, you know, are very, very old. They would have been told at one time from Cork to Caithness throughout the Gaeltacht areas of Scotland and Ireland.
When you're looking further down the railway line, you can look up and see these great mountains around you. On one side you've got Crick Coloch, there's the word creek, which is coming from English as crag. On the other side we've got bigger mountains, we've got things like Bain, which is originally an animal's horn, that's become the anglicised form Ben, that's so characteristic of the Scottish landscape. But we've got other words in there as well as that. We've got Meal, which means a lump, and it's a big sort of lumpy hill, maybe not particularly shapely. Further over, we've got Strawn, which means a nose, as on a human face, and that's become a word for the end of a mountain ridge. And we have Stope as well, which is something that sticks up like a peak on a mountain. So we have, in this very small area, quite a significant number of mountain names, but there are vast numbers in Scotland. We have well over 100 words in Gaelic for a hill.
The Gaelic language really is thriving. You'll find lots of opportunities to explore Gaelic culture through music and language, theatre and the arts.